reduction of intelligence.
Intelligence is?
Reduction of ignorance.
Reduction of ignorance. You're probably saying opposite of ignorance, right?
No, reduction. You're all ignorant.
Okay.
You're reducing the degree of ignorance.
Reducing the degree of ignorance is intelligence. I like that. That's okay. Mary?
It's knowing truth.
Knowing truth. Mm-hmm. You mean knowing reality as it is, not as it appears to be. Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, it occurs on many levels. There's IQ, there's the emotional, there's the psychological, there's spiritual. It has many levels.
Okay. So there is a spectrum of intelligence. How do you define all that in general? The entire spectrum.
No.
Okay.
I agree with what all they have said. Mm-hmm. Yes, knowing something more can be more intelligent, or having knowledge towards something or everything.
So knowing knowledge, like knowing stuff, like
knowing about anything and everything.
Like knowing whether it is east, west, north, south, or knowing how to calculate.
Are you saying only general knowledge? No, I am saying what all they have
that
said.
Plus general knowledge.
Having all other skills.
Skills.
Knowing a lot more.
Okay.
At every point, like a spiritual level, at emotional
level. I hear the word knowing. Mm-hmm. As prominent
knowing
word,
or knowing. Knowledge or about anything.
Okay. Good.
That we kind of change your mind about something. If you know about it, you can make the right decision towards anything. It could be spiritual level, it could be.
You're saying knowing is intelligence in general.
Yeah.
Good.
Trying to find a reason behind.
Trying to find a reason. So analytical, critical thinking, analytical ability is intelligence. Okay. Great.
For me, intelligent is knowing the right thing and doing the right things.
That's a good one. Knowing and doing what is right.
Yeah, what is
right. That is intelligence. Okay.
To me, it's like she said, it's knowledge and information about things, but then not just having that information, but being able to use it.
Being able to apply
not
it.
Not just ignoring things, but using what you already know about it and the ability to know more, or the curiousness.
Curiousness is intelligence, interesting. And there is a pragmatic aspect to intelligence. Great.
I think the awareness of things and expanding your horizons.
Wow. Awareness is intelligence. It's beautiful.
Running out of ideas. Creativity.
Creativity is intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay.
And effectiveness, like she said. So there's one thing, knowing it, but then at least the way we define intelligence within animals or species is
right.
What they exhibit, the way they exhibit an effectiveness, you know, towards their environment, surrounding.
So responding to your surrounding is intelligence. How you respond to your surrounding is intelligence. And then you are saying creativity. So being creative in that response is also intelligence. Great.
Knowledge is generally stimulus, you know, it's a result of stimulus, what you know of things.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, intelligence would be knowing what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Also being
because
aware.
I cannot express, I don't okay. know.
I think you are kind of referring to awareness. Kind of referring to this transcendental quality of intelligence. So, great. So, we have 11 people, and there are 11 definitions. And in fact, for years, the intelligence community has been trying to define intelligence. Nobody has come up with a definition that everybody can agree upon. So what I derive from that is that intelligence is a generic term. It's an umbrella term to indicate everything that everybody just talked about. Reduction of intelligence, creativity, responsiveness, awareness, knowingness, critical thinking, analytical ability, all these things looks like combined together is generally known as intelligence. So, have you heard of Deep Blue computer? IBM, right? So IBM designed a computer, Deep Blue, which had critical thinking, analytical ability, lots of knowledge, and Deep Blue actually defeated Garry Kasparov. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, right? The chess grandmaster.
Eventually
defeated Garry Kasparov. So my question is Deep Blue intelligent? Chess is a very intelligent game, isn't it?
That's why they use the qualifier, artificial intelligence.
Okay. So you're saying it is intelligence?
It's a derived intelligence. You know, it develops on its own, it keeps learning.
I think the intelligence still lies not in Deep Blue, but the creators of, those who have programmed the Deep Blue.
So it is limited by the knowledge of the creators.
Okay.
Deep Blue can't evolve and can't grow, so I think that's part of intelligence too.
Okay, now it's coming out. So evolution and growth. So let's keep that in mind. So those things. Deep Blue cannot evolve, right? Very excellent. So that's okay. We're going to dig out the essence of intelligence, you know. So you said artificial intelligence. But is it really intelligence? Okay, so you're saying it is not intelligent.
Deep Blue doesn't have any inherent intelligences. Mm-hmm. The people who created it, programmed it.
Right. But if you say that to AI community, artificial intelligence community, they'll laugh at you. There is a huge community, Ray Kurzweil, everybody's aware of, Bill Gates to some extent, and Steve Jobs and everything.
Did Garry Kasparov ever go back and re-challenge it?
No.
Did he ever do that?
I don't think so.
I think after that, Gary was able to beat it again.
Hmm. Oh, he was, okay. The point I'm trying to make is, in the AI community, they think, and great people like Ray Kurzweil and Steve Jobs and many other people in that futurist community and the intelligence community think that you can actually create intelligence. And that's why there is this word called artificial intelligence. Mm. Right? And that's why I asked you whether a Deep Blue is intelligent or not. Is a calculator an intelligent thing?
It was. Long time back, people thought it was intelligent.
It has incredible computational ability, right? Mm-hmm. IQ, everybody is aware of IQ? That's the only known measurement tool for intelligence that we know of, which is widely accepted. IQ test, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Deep Blue, what kind of IQ score it will get? Probably 200. Mm-hmm. 200 is the highest IQ score, right? Mm-hmm. But I see here everybody saying, no, Deep Blue is not intelligent. So IQ is in and out, it's just not a measure of intelligence.
It's a measure of output.
it's a general computational ability, a factor, mm-hmm. they call it general intelligence factor, the G factor, which represents general computational ability. You know? That's all.
The thing is, these machines don't have any, like humans are a lot more complex, you know. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, you can have an IQ of 200, but if your EQ is close to zero, you cannot
right.
make use of that IQ.
Good.
So
excellent. So, you have a robot, IQ of 200, and this is important because the whole educational system is completely driven by IQ.
Mm-hmm.
SAT, GMAT, everything, you know, and we think we are making our kids intelligent. We are, to some extent, but we haven't explored the entire realm of intelligence. That's what we're trying to do here, to understand what is the extent of intelligence, not just the computational ability or critical thinking or analytical ability, you know. A robot, for example, 200 IQ, and if you ask robot what is love, will the robot answer? Yes. Will define answer. He'll say yes. Love is this.
In the
right?
dictionary.
And he will not only do that. He will answer, give definition of love in 200 different languages. But does it really know what love is?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
He's just looking at it.
Because
bottom line. Because robot has not felt love. Feeling is the foremost element of intelligence, the foundation of intelligence. If you cannot feel, you are not intelligent, period. That's precisely why we are doing this feeling workout. You tell a robot, give a command to robot, whatever comes in your way, destroy it. So he sees something in his way, destroys it. He sees a child, he destroys the child. For a robot, the vision is just a bunch of pixels, right? That is not intelligence. Unless we feel, we cannot become intelligence. Robot doesn't know the meaning of love. Robot is built only on syntax, not semantics, right? How do we derive the meaning of stuff?
In fact, you know, the feeling is very important because I think there was a study done by some psychiatrists of prison population.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most hardcore criminals had IQ bordering on genius.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There's only if people could use their IQ in a better
direction. Right. If they could use that IQ to get in touch with their feelings,
right.
they would change their life. So, how do we derive the meaning? Through feeling. If we know what love is because we have felt the emotion. That's why we have to work very, very hard to, number one, get in touch with our feelings. Always feel feelings, feel the stuff. And then understand the nature of feeling, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, or neutral. We looked at different types of feelings, right? There are three primary types of feelings. A pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant feelings. So number one, realizing that feeling is the foremost component of intelligence. Number two, learning to stay in touch with your feelings. Number three, to not react to those feelings.
I think that's the key, because feelings, even though you're in touch with them, you know them, they can overwhelm you if you don't know how to control them.
Right. When you learn to, rather than controlling, when you learn to observe them equanimously, then you are at a higher level of intelligence. And you could call it EQ, right? Like you mentioned EQ, or somebody else also mentioned EQ. So now we are going higher. How we went higher, how we evolved, by working with our feelings. When there is pleasantness, we don't react. You know, you see a chocolate. It's not the chocolate that you react to. It's the pleasant feeling that arises in your embodiment when you see the chocolate that you react to.
So reaction is what emotion is.
Not necessarily, because you can also have wholesome emotions, which are not reactions. There are unwholesome emotions.
There's still reactions. If something is neutral,
mm-hmm.
okay,
right,
and you have an experience of it and you react.
Right.
You can react positively or you can react. And those reactions can be emotion. Well, I guess we think of the emotions as being the negative reactions.
Negative, right. But for example, loving kindness, compassion are wholesome emotions. Mm-hmm. They are not reactions. Mm-hmm. Emotion of contentment, it's an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Emotion of renunciation, relinquishment,
mm-hmm.
these are all wholesome emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They are not reactions.
We just don't think about them. We don't think about the positive ones.
Positive ones, right, right. You know why? Because we have only learned how to react. We haven't learned how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So far, that's all we've been doing. Our aim is to learn to respond, not react.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that?
But that is why psychologists say 10% of what happens to an individual in a given event,
mm-hmm.
90% is how you react to it.
How you respond to it, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they take an example of traffic jams,
absolutely.
Traffic tickets,
yep.
Kids misbehaving,
mm-hmm.
and so on. And every time, how you react to that.
Respond to that, you mean?
How you respond
to that. That's what makes you more intelligent.
And that's so, this reaction is what causes grief to all of us.
Absolutely.
Because in the moment, we are reacting in
mm-hmm.
a very negative way.
Right. We're reacting, why? Because we are not in touch with our feelings. That's the bottom line. Einstein has an IQ of what? 200, I think, right? I don't know what his IQ
is.
Yeah, but he lived a miserable life. He contemplated suiciding twice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows, right? A very sad life, and he is a genius, we call him, right? Alan Turing, we talked about, the father of computer science. He committed suicide because he couldn't handle the ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
Ludwig Boltzmann, the father of atomic theory, he committed suicide too. Kodak, Eastman Kodak, the guy who invented photography, jumped from the fourth floor, ended his life.
Because all the IQ was in, all the intelligence was in at the IQ
level. They were not in touch with their feelings, they were constantly reacting. They had not evolved. And so, here we learn to develop EQ and then higher SQ. And then finally awareness, which is higher than spiritual intelligence. So, the question is, how do we develop EQ and then SQ and so and the fourth, the highest level of intelligence, I use the term soul intelligence. It's just a term, but just to give you a quick roadmap to there is, well, let's step back further. The word intelligence, what's the root of that word, the Latin root? The word intelligence.
Intelligere.
Literally, intelligere means to understand. Literally. So
can intelligence be called also wisdom with feeling or wisdom about feeling? I'm not sure, is it wisdom with feeling or wisdom about feeling?
It's both, because we just defined intelligence, feeling as the fundamental quality of intelligence. A robot is not intelligent because it cannot feel. So first and foremost is to understand feeling is the forerunner, the foremost element of intelligence. And then having wisdom, understanding feeling. That's why intelligence actually means intelligere, the root element means to understand. To understand what? Your feelings. To understand what? The impermanent nature of your feelings. To understand what? The impersonality nature of your feelings. The feelings that arise in us, like he was saying, 10%, right? From the external stimuli, there is a feeling that is arising in you. Understand that as a feeling, not your feeling. Feeling is a feeling. It arises based on conditions. Somebody is upset at you, it makes you feel unpleasant, right? Mm-hmm. Understand that as just a phenomenon of feeling, and there is no need to blame the other person. It's just a stimulus. And it's not the person you are reacting to, but it's that unpleasantness that you are reacting to. So if you try to fight that person, you are reacting. You're not solving the problem. The problem is not that person who's angry at you. The problem is that unpleasantness inside you which has arisen, which you are trying to push away. You don't want that unpleasantness. And so you react to that. So, bang, there is this unpleasant feeling. It's a phenomenon of feeling. Its inherent nature is to come and go. It's impermanent, right? This feeling, as it has arisen, it's going to pass away. That's something which is impermanent. Why should I react to it? Let it just come and go. So you observe that feeling equanimously. Just like you're observing as you're moving your attention from top to bottom, bottom to top. Right? There was unpleasant feeling in your knee. It's just a feeling. You keep on moving. There was some pleasant feeling in your stomach or in your, maybe eyes or forehead. It's pleasant feeling. Keep on moving. That's it. So you develop equanimity. You are developing intelligence. Right? As you are developing equanimity, you are becoming more and more intelligent. And sooner or later, the more you understand feelings, the more intelligent you become. You realize that there is no feeler behind feelings. I'm sorry, I may have repeated this like a zillion times, but it's really the bottom line, you know. There's really no feeler behind feeling. Feeling is just a phenomenon of body, mind, consciousness. Whenever you say it's my feeling, then all the hell breaks loose, you know. When there's anger, if you think I'm angry, then there is remorse and guilt. So when we are angry, immediately we have to realize, oh, there is this unpleasant burning sensation in me. It's just an unpleasant feeling, it's going to come and go. And remorse and guilt are extremely unwholesome mental phenomena. To deal with that intelligently is to understand that you don't own the feelings.
Mother Mary.
Both. What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking that feeling also, it can be an impetus for action, you were saying. You know, I think of the person who, sees a car run over somebody, goes and picks the car up. Mm-hmm. You know, their first reaction is, oh my gosh, and the next reaction is to take some action.
Right.
So, feeling can also be part of action.
Not can, it is.
It is a part of action.
Because every single action, reaction, non-action, experience, condition, circumstance, mm-hmm. there is a feeling underlying. Without feeling, there is no consciousness. Without feeling, there is no experience. So in fact, intelligence is also defined in the spiritual circle as the mental ability of consciousness. That is the technical definition of intelligence. Mental ability of consciousness. If all the AI crowd really understands that, they'll stop fighting. It's been 50 years, you know. In robot, there is no consciousness, period. Robot doesn't have intelligence. Don't fight over it, you know. It's very simple.
I'm thinking about all of us going to Star Wars and watching CP3O, is that his name?
RD22.
RD22. Anyway, we gave them personalities. We liked them, we reacted to them. We, you know, all these little kids took them in and made them their best buddy.
And not that AI is not possible. It is possible, but only when and only if they can come up with totally radical mathematical models and computer models in which they can incorporate feeling. You know, like you have imaginary numbers, right? Come up with something that will incorporate feeling into your model, and then maybe R2-D2 will become a conscious being sooner or later, intelligent being. So it's not that it's not possible.
But will it be able to, will it be aware of spiritual growth, or, you know, you're still...
How many human beings are there?
Right.
There are several human beings.
Well, how many
walking
human
around
beings
like
are,
robots, right?
How many human beings are intelligent, even ones with huge IQs, I mean,
exactly.
Walking around like robots.
So only consciousness is not important. Mental ability of consciousness.
I think it's more also like feel, for instance, one of the reasons people have such a hard time with feeling is that they expect everything to go right in life. They expect everything to be perfect, and that's not how it works. And part of life is learning that it's not perfect and you have to overcome. You know, things happen. You're not always going to achieve. You're not always going to, you know, C's happen, and you know, you're not always going to get A's. Real life is not about always getting A's. There are C's in real life, you know. We go to work, we deal with our kids, we are, you know, we fail. You know, failure is a part of life.
Right.
And you have to learn to, when failure happens, you have to learn to deal and to overcome and not be overwhelmed.
And you learn with your mistakes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, the first mistake is to expect that nothing's ever going to go wrong.
Right.
That's just not reality.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in order to be able to do that, the key element is feeling. Mastering the feelings, period. You master your feelings, you master your emotions. Anger, lust, greed, hatred, all those. What is the fundamental constituent? What is the element, mental element in that? Is feeling, you know? Anger, for example, is made of feeling plus hatred equals anger. Not just hatred. Feeling plus hatred is anger. Feeling plus non-hatred is generosity. Feeling plus greed is lust. Feeling plus non-greed is freedom. So, all emotions, feeling is a universal element. So
people like Mother Teresa are more intelligent than Christ.
Good, great question. What do you guys think? Is Mother Teresa more intelligent than Einstein?
You're going by
because
the
spiritual
definition, yes.
Which realm you're, which yardstick you're comparing?
No, strictly.
Einstein.
No, strictly from the perspective of intelligence, not my perspective, your perspective. I'm talking about from the perspective of intelligence, from the overall understanding of intelligence as we have developed right now, right? From that perspective, not our or anybody else's perspective, just perspective, you know? From that perspective, what do you think?
I think they're on their own dimensions of intelligence. I wouldn't, it's comparing apples and oranges.
I think feeling-wise, she was more intelligent.
Now if you look at mental ability of
consciousness, right?
Then yes, Mother Teresa.
The answer is simple. Yes, the answer is very, very simple. Yes, and the reason we hate to do that because there is this perception of Einstein being incredibly great. Right?
But he tried to commit suicide, as you said. I mean, Mother Teresa never tried to commit suicide.
Right. So. Now the point is to understand that Einstein, if he wanted to become really intelligent, he could do just like that. Because he has a foundation of great IQ. IQ is not a deterrent.
Yeah.
It's a great foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the spiritual practice like we are doing here, in emotional intelligence development, spiritual intelligence development or awareness or whatever, people who have good IQ can really go fast up.
I think IQ, so, when you put ego on top of IQ, then you're stopping it there. I think it's the ego acting on the IQ thinking that you're very smart, or you're, then you become arrogant.
Right, I mean,
you can't.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, IQ in itself, just not thorough intelligence, and we have history to back up, back that up, right?
Hitler was probably very intelligent.
He had very great IQ, but not EQ.
Yeah,
yeah, but he was a genius. Look what he was able to accomplish. I mean, what he was able to do, you know. It wasn't good stuff, but he was able to do it.
And what about kids? Like somebody's IQ is 150 or 200.
Right.
But that kid, I'm talking about kid, like.
Right.
And he doesn't have any EQ. It's like a problem in that kid.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
As a parent.
Or something.
As a parent, if you want your kids to be intelligent, you want to make them...
No, it's not just want. He doesn't have that emotional thing.
Behavioral issues.
Yeah,
right.
He just doesn't have,
absolutely.
And it's hard to develop.
We
so
just,
like,
I just told you, Ludwig Boltzmann, Alan Turing, Ismail Kodak, Einstein, and then this professor from, is it Berkeley, who did the bubble chamber experiment? The very famous bubble chamber experiment. He had so much trouble with alcoholism. He just couldn't deal with alcoholism, and he won a Nobel Prize. I can bet you majority of the Nobel Prize winners in science, all, majority, not all, majority are, pardon my audacity, dumb. I mean, Mother Teresa, you know, IQ is not the measure of intelligence. Even if you just take that from here today, I think we have satisfied today's objective. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, it's not like it's not. We are not angry. We are angry because we saw the, so that kids grew up not developing the EQ.
Right.
Just IQ.
Right. We have to make conscious effort to make them intelligent, meaning develop ingrained EQ in them, teach them about feelings, about non-reaction, about impersonality, awareness.
The key is not to be, I don't know, as a parent to me, it's very important not to be critical. You know,
that's part of EQ, right? That's
yeah,
part
of praise,
EQ,
you know,
right?
You know, you can guide without being critical, because you know, being critical, you're just stopping the child's growth right there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Also, I think the key is that you have to be very careful using the word failure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is failure. What we have is unintended results.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Unintended results.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you particularly when dealing with children or even
right.
as adults, if you constantly emphasize the failure,
yeah.
the word failure,
right.
just take it as, hey, okay, this is how, this is what I thought was going to happen, the result, I invested $100,000 in the stock market, I was hoping to double it in 2 days. It didn't happen. The unintended result is $100,000 became a negative.
$10,000.
But if you're smart, you're not going to do that again.
Hopefully. So hopefully we learn from the unintended
right.
results.
Right.
And
that's that I would classify as EQ, even as SQ, you know. So basically point is, let's stop being smart. Let's start becoming wise, you know?
Anybody sees a little boy, he was on Oprah many times, and he wrote some books. He had muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the boy.
Maddie Stepanik or whatever his name was. Anyway, this little boy was the most wise individual
absolutely.
In this very broken body.
Mm-hmm.
He just blew people away with his wisdom.
And
the whole meaning of life. This was a very highly EQ kid.
Okay, sure. Maybe
high.
SQ, spiritual intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah, and SQ.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his mother also had muscular dystrophy, and he was the caregiver for her.
Wow.
That's how high this child was. Is that
oh, he's the salesman?
Emotionally he took care of her. What?
Is it that salesman story, or somebody different?
Salesman.
He was the salesman?
Yeah.
The name of the person itself?
No.
His name is Maddie.
Okay.
Stepanek, and he wrote poetry.
Okay.
And so he wrote some books of poetry before he died.
Right.
But this child was, yes, E and S.
And S.
Up there.
So, when we look at ourselves, if we seem or others, and if we simply use IQ, most likely we're going to suffer, you know. If you say, I'm this body, that's IQ. You see, hear, smell, touch, taste, right? Oh, this is me, my body, you know. That's IQ. It's only sensing. It's like a robot senses. Robot knows. Robot sees, hears, touches, smells, and tastes. It's sensing. When you add feeling to your sensing, intelligence begins. So, starting from I am this body, right? Then you then start to feel the body. Oh, there is this feeling in the body. Then slowly now you're becoming more intelligent. And then as you start, so now you have sensing. From sensing you have moved up to feeling, right? From feeling you have to move up to cognizing. Okay, there is this body, it feels. Sometimes it is pleasant, sometimes it is unpleasant. You're cognizing the feeling. So you're going higher. Sensing to feeling to cognizing. What is this feeling? This burning sensation? It's unpleasant, it's its nature. Let it just pass, come and go. I don't have to do anything with it. It is its nature. I cannot change the feeling of anger. You're cognizing the feeling, cognition, right? Sensing to feeling to cognizing. And then understanding. That's the hierarchy of intelligence. We go from sensing to feeling, we go from feeling to cognizing. Underlying the cognizing is a feeling still. And this is the answer to your question. From cognizing, we go to understanding. What is understanding? Oh, this feeling. First is it's impermanent. Second is, does it really belong to me? Mm. It is driven by conditionality. And we will go through technicality of it. I'll show you the whole thing. Why? So, it is driven by conditionality. It is not my feeling. It's just a mental phenomenon. From cognizing to understanding. So you have reached there. Even in understanding, there is a feeling, but it's in a subliminal state. It's in a residual state. And that's the answer to your actually question. So eventually you also have to transcend feeling, believe it or not. So, but it's always there in a residual form. So that's what our goal is.
Yes, so feeling is a derived phenomenon of body-mind consciousness. Body especially. Without body there is a, without mind also there is a feeling.
Right.
It again shows me that that's impermanent because the entire body-mind consciousness itself is impermanent. Feeling is also impermanent. Has to be impermanent because that is derived.
Right.
If I'm right that this is derived. And when you are saying that you have to understand that, so what I understand is that you have to understand the entire impermanence of the feeling.
Right.
Because the underlying base
is impermanent. Absolutely. So your understanding is a very subtle thing, very, very subtle but extremely pleasant, with a spiritual joy in realizing that subtlety between sensing, feeling, cognizing, understanding. And understanding is what wisdom is. So, and in common terms we can say, from being smart, we're going to become clever. From being clever, we're going to become wise. Great. Thanks.